You're probably here because you're a fan of the technical side of OCR and hybrid race coverage, and that's what we're all about. My name is Jason Dupree, and this is OCR Talk. Hey, this is Jason Dupree. Thanks for listening in to OCR Talk. I just got left DECA Fit NorCal, so I'm going to do a little recap of some stuff while things are fresh, and I'm driving back to the hotel, so it might be quick, and I might add on to it later, and I might not sure yet. Oh, I see a lady that started in the wave with me. I got... Hey, how'd you do?
You know what?
What?
I would have been first if I aged.
Yeah?
I finished.
Nice job. Was that, that was your first one, right?
Yeah, that was the first one. Hey,
don't get a bit. Well done. Well done.
Hey, thanks for your support.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's your name?
Jason Dupree.
Jason, Renee, I'll see
Renee,
you.
Awesome. Okay, see you.
Right,
bye. That's cool. He started in the little wave right in front of me, in the open wave, which is where I ran because, you know, I do the solo show and the teams show. So no time for doing the age group. There's lots going on in between. There's lots of things that I do in between the shows, and that's actually a good place to start. In between the two shows, when the first one is over, I've got, I'd say a little over 2 hours, depending on how long the races go. And in that time, I'm going to try not to hit people here, so apologies for me talking slow. They shouldn't be able to go, but I shouldn't be going either. So I do... Yeah, there you go. Okay, there you go. Stop. All right, I'm good. Okay. So... I go in and change some titles. So, like, when the show has the opening and it says, you know, time, show starts and coverage starts in such and such time. That's a timer, and there's a title with the time that's set for that to hit zero. Now, what's funny about that is if you watch the solo race versus the, I think I might have hit it before it even had a chance to in the teams race. But in the solo race, once it got down to zero, it went to 59:59 because my time was set to incorrect time. So it was looking at, like, you know, an hour later instead. So it's not showing the actual hour that it's counting down to. It's just showing the minutes and the seconds. And then... yeah, so it didn't show. It rolled over. That's the word I'm looking for. It rolled over. So, but I fixed it. The funny thing is, I deal with time zones. The computer that I work off of is, you know, time zone is back home in Central. So I've got Central on that computer, and then the time zone wherever I'm racing. Like out here, I was in the Pacific, and the time zone for the AWS computer, the cloud production machine, that one is, I have to look at it. It should be Ohio, because that's where it's out of, but the weird thing is, I'm pretty sure it's mountain time, because I have to set it to be an hour behind me. And that means it's an hour ahead of, you know, where the event is. So keep it all that straight, which throws me every single time I look at the computer clock and see that it's, you know, 2 hours later. It's like, oh, God, I don't have much time. In reality, I do. The opposite of that is the worst whenever you're in Eastern time and you're like, oh, I got 2 hours, and then you realize, oh no, I've only got an hour left to go. So yeah, changing little titles like that, and changing out the results. So I get these links from Spartan, from DECA, and the links go into my data sources, and the data sources feed right into the graphics, and the graphics I do for the first show. I have the men's and women's, and instead of having completely separate leaderboards for the men and women's teams, I just swap out the link to the results for the teams races, as opposed to using a different graphic. So I swap those out and make sure they're good. And it's funny, you know, we see the results themselves. We see issues there, like, and this is all coming from the race. And we see, you know, like Jack Bauer and Glenn Race, they registered late, you know, basically right before the race happened, and so they didn't show up in the results at first. So we had this team that was running in first, and we saw them, but we didn't see, you know, second place. And then whenever Jack and them passed them, I think we eventually saw it. We eventually saw them show up on the leaderboard. But, you know, people are working on that in the background. They see that that's happening, and like, oh, no, we need to fix this. And so that's normal stuff. Normal stuff that you deal with whenever going through all this. Sorry, I'm going to pause real quick while I go into here. All right, so I've got it parked in a parking garage, so I'm going to chat for a minute and finish this up, and that way I don't have to do it later, and maybe I can actually get it out tonight. So I was talking about the results and how, you know, sometimes that's technical stuff that even the Spartan team, the DECA team, is dealing with. Yeah, that's something that we just kind of have to roll with whenever it happens. So the race itself was pretty awesome. We actually had Isaac Sanderson and Glenn Race get 1 and 2 again, you know, same as last race. And then Jack Bauer came in, got his third year consecutive getting third place at this race, which is pretty funny. Unfortunately, so here's a big thing. Unfortunately, Mark Pauline got DQ'd, as well as Jessica, I forget her last name, Jessica, that was in first place for the women for the majority of the race. Mark Pauline, he got DQ'd because he only did 19 reps on his burpees. And some of them, I believe 5, were actually called no reps. Even with the 5, he didn't do 24, and 5 of them were no reps. He did 19, and 5 of them were no reps. So they couldn't even assess a penalty. He just didn't finish the station. And according to the rule book, if you do not complete a station, that's a DQ. Same for Jessica. She actually got DQ'd for throwing the ram. And in the rule book, if you throw the ram, you can come back and pick it up and do. So it states that to finish your last rep, you have to set it down in the plate, in the location you got it from. And she tossed it, basically. According to the rule book, she could have come back and picked it up, did one more rep, and then set it down from that rep. But in both of these cases, these people were fighting for the a podium spot. They were fighting. You know, Jessica was fighting for first, and Mark was fighting for third. So it's very understandable that they made a mistake, and that, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens. It's not a bad or a knock on them that they made a mistake. That happens. It's very unfortunate. And we all feel bad for them because we don't want to see anybody be DQ'd, but the rules do need to be strict and followed, and that's the way it went. So, very unfortunate, but that's how it was. Jessica was freaking flying. I mean, she was doing awesome for the majority of the race, and she got to the burpees, and you could see that she, like, her form was getting really rough, and she just was having a really hard time. So, it's definitely understandable that she, you know, made the mistake and was just trying to finish. She's trying to get it done and get that spot. But she just, you know,
made that mistake there. Very unfortunate.
Teams race were exciting as always. They had so few teams race athletes, teams, that they put them all in all the elites in one heat, which I thought was pretty cool because we only had three rabbits for the teams. Maybe it would have helped if we had four, but for the teams, we saw the leaders for each. Like we saw, I don't think we didn't really see a battle for women's or a battle for co-ed, but we saw the leaders. We saw the battle for first for the men's, but we saw the leaders for each category throughout the race up until a certain point when the men pulled away and all of the rabbits went to the men. I should have had one of them peel off and go back for the co-ed for the women. But for a while, they were staying back. And you would see, like, while the men are out running to the next station, we're seeing, you know, the co-ed and the women on the previous station doing their, you know, wrapping it up. So that was really cool. I liked it. Made the show go by a lot faster. The interviews we had were awesome. It was great. It was actually really cool because Julie Best and Michelle Navarro got interviewed during the solo race, and they actually, instead of me having to go out and get them, they actually came over and was kind of like motioned to me, like, hey, do you want us to come interview? And I was like, oh, absolutely. So that was really cool. Like, the fact that they knew that we were looking for interviews and, yeah, super cool. Made me very happy. Technical-wise, the shows went pretty well. The cell coverage was pretty darn good. It wasn't as good as it was in SoCal, so I did lower the quality on the static cameras just to be safe because at times I was seeing them having a hard time getting their signal through. And then one of the cameras, for the rabbits, did a fantastic job. Frickin' Sean and Josh and Ryan did some running. I mean, I think Josh said that he hit like a 4:10 pace trying to catch up to somebody to show us who was in second. It was amazing. But for whatever reason, his camera, his was the only one that was like in and out. He would have minutes of being clear and then minutes of not being clear. It was so weird. And it almost seemed like it was mostly when he was moving, which was the weird part. But, you know, sometimes you just, is it the phone? Is it because all the other phones connected first and his was the last one? So the network congestion was just like, nope, I ain't got time for you. I don't know. You know, who knows? It's crazy. There was some little things that I made mistakes on. Like whenever I made a new thing to show who the commentators on the left and the interviewees in the middle is, you know, in the main part of the screen, and jumping over to that, I've got a stinger transition. So it flashes the little, I think it makes some noise, like a sound, and it shows the Osera report, and it switches from one shot to another, and it goes into that interview. Oh, stop making that noise. And it goes into that interview panel. And the first race, I had the stinger happening after the transition, so it was you would see the three up, which is what I call that, showing the interviewees first, and then it would flash that stinger real quick. So I fixed that for the second show, so that was good. Couple other little things that I adjusted, like buttons that I didn't have for showing the Patreon banner, and I made sure to make sure I had a button for that. So yeah, made some adjustments in between the two races. So yeah, that's actually where I started. It was talking about the things I do in between the two races. So that was one of the things I did. I also went into the YouTube feed for the first race and set the chapter markers. So that way, when you go watch it, you can easily jump to, Here's where the race started. The men's race started. The women's race started. Here's where the interviews are. Here's where the finishes are. Here's where the results are. Hopefully that helps people to watch it more, because if you want to go look for something, you want to see who finished or how they finished, what the results were. You don't want to have to go scrub through and find it. It's just right there. You go straight to it. So that, swapping out the, you know, the results links that I talked about earlier. And, you know, I do get a breather in there, you know, go use the restroom, eat something. I think I did a better job of eating this time. Like, I've been bad about not bringing snacks and stuff. And so I just don't eat, and, you know, basically don't eat any breakfast and then don't eat until the show's over, which is not good. So this time I did better. I had some snacks and was able to eat throughout, and more liquid, more water, actually. You know, Prime's not been there. I don't know if Prime's not a sponsor anymore, but they've not had drinks at the finish line. They just had water. So I did better about that. And my race, I decided, I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I decided I was going to make a video, because we do those all obstacle videos for the obstacle course races, and, you know, those are good, those are cool, but I've thought, like, for DECA, it's the exact same. Like, I know we see these obstacles over and over, but for each course, they're always in different layouts. The course itself is going to have different views, that kind of stuff. Here, it's almost identical every single time. The only thing that changes about it is it a rectangle or a square, and that's it. But we don't have a video that shows the zones for DECA yet, so I decided, okay, I'll take my GoPro and do that. And kind of last minute, like on the fly, I decided, let me kind of talk about how I feel after each zone. Now, before I get to that, I'll say I did my first DECA at Knoxville, and I was not in good shape at the time. And when I say not in good shape, it's like 10 pounds heavier than what I feel like is my best race weight. And so not in good shape and not fueled well, like I said, not eating properly throughout the day. And felt pretty rough. Now, biggest thing about it is I would go into these stations and be like, sweet, I can start rowing hard on this. Oh, yeah, I'm rowing hard. And then it hits you, and it's like, oh, crap, this is too hard. And then you have to start slowing down. You're trying to maintain, and then it gasses you out. And then you go try to run, and then you're freaking destroyed. So because I did that on just about every station, which I did decent, but I just felt bad. Like, I did not feel good during that race, and I felt really crappy after. Like, I felt not sick, but a little lightheaded and just rough. I felt rough after that race. This one, I decided, I don't want to feel like I'm dying again, so I'm going to take it at a more even pace and see how that makes me feel and how that affects my time. So I did that. Looking at my splits, my runs are almost all of them are 3 minutes. The first run was like 2:44, and the last run was like 2:55. But the rest of them are like 3:02, 3:04, like almost right there. So I really did. I kept my runs consistent, which was awesome. And I stuck to a 9:30 pace. You know, obviously when I feel more fit, I can increase that pace, or knowing that I can do that now, I can increase that pace to see how it affects me and, you know, how hard can I push. Taking all the stations very evenly, not trying to blast through anything, just like, you know, don't let anything blow you up. Basically, that was my mantra. And I did it. I think I pulled off exactly what I was trying to do. When I got to the burpees, it was funny because, after coming out of each station, I talked to the camera and said, you know, this station blew up my legs. I feel like Jell-O, you know, whatever. The station, I put out a lot of energy, so it makes me feel like I'm running slow, but it's not because my legs are destroyed. You know, just little things like that. And so I think I'm going to make a video that's going to be, you know, not an elite level person, but it's going to show barely any running, because we don't want to watch a 50-minute race, a 50-minute video of me doing DECA. But I do want to show the stations in their entirety, and I don't think I'm going to speed anything up. I think I'm just going to let them be what they are, and then you'll get to hear my, you know, little spiel after each one when I run out of the station. So I think that'll be interesting. We'll throw a little music over the stations and then turn the music down whenever I'm talking. It'll be interesting, I think. I'm looking forward to it. So going into, there's no GPS, so it's hard to gauge in the building. I couldn't get GPS signal, so it's hard to gauge what my watch was saying, what my pace was. But time-wise, I was heading into burpees, and I looked at my watch to see, because I didn't look at it up until then, but I looked at my watch. Actually, I lie. I looked at my watch when I passed the burpee zone on that, you know, one more lap to go, and I thought I saw how much time I had. I'm pretty sure I looked at my, at the time of day and just glanced at the minutes. And so whenever I got to the burpees, I think the same thing happened. And I'm pretty sure I thought that I was not going to hit the PR. I thought that I had 2.5 minutes or something like that. And I think I did my burpees in a minute and a half. I'm pretty sure. And, so I thought I didn't hit it for sure. And then I crossed the finish line and I stopped my watch and looked at it. I was like, holy crap, I think I did. I actually beat my PR by a minute and a half. So for one, for sure, just being in better. Oh, I've been more disciplined for the past month. So I'm a few pounds down, feeling leaner, feeling stronger, fueled better today. So that made a huge difference. And so a minute and a half PR. And come Austin, that'll be about a month, from now, and I'll try it again. I won't do that one with a GoPro, though. You know, this one, every time I ran into a station, I was setting the GoPro up somewhere, and so that took a lot, you know, extra time, too. So I want to try and do the same thing, maybe increase the run pace a little bit, maybe try to go for, 9:15, and see if I can power through the stations a little more, maybe. But even if I don't, even if I just take the stations easy, it should easily get me a PR because I won't be fiddling with a GoPro. So there's that. Anyways, I'm in Sacramento. I'm going to go to Old Town is what I've heard is a cool place to go. I'm at a hotel across the street. So you walk under this bridge and it takes you to Old Town, whatever that is. And from what I've seen, they have a place that does donuts. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay. I got time. They close at 7 and it's 5:46 and I would like to take a shower. So I'm going to go there and get donuts, but they make them fresh right there and then and there. If anybody knows me, if you know me, you know I love hot donuts. So I think I've deserved 2 hot donuts. And, you know, when I choose to just eat whatever I want, I would probably get 4 or 6. But I'm going to get 2 and then I'm going to go get some real dinner after that. So I think I'll wrap it up there. Thanks for listening. If you're listening and you're watching, I appreciate it. You guys are the reason we do it, just to make the sport better, and we'll keep on rolling. Thank you guys.